And now Megan Kerwin will read our scripture lesson.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does will of my Father who is in the name. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesize in your name, and your name drive out the demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Megan. The Native Americans called it Wiscockweck, meaning the trail. The Dutch called it the gentleman's trail. Then next, the English called it Broadway Street. All because this path, ever widening over the ages, was the primary path that people took to come and go in what we call New York City. And today, we know of this trail, this path, as Broadway, one of the longest streets in the world, 16.3 miles. How many of you have been somewhere on Broadway ever in your life? Sure, most. We all know about it. Maybe you know about it as the theater district, a portion of Broadway. Perhaps some of you know of it as the Great White Way. It got that name because when electricity came, that street was one of the first to be lighted in the 1800s. And when they did that, everything looked white all of a sudden. So we think today about a broad way. And we also think about a narrow way. And we do so as a part of our ongoing study of the book for our Lenten study, The Renegade Gospel, a part of our sermon series of the same title, as we think about what Mike Slaughter, the author of our Lenten book, challenges us to do, and that is to take more seriously that Jesus was really a rebel, really a rabble-rouser, someone who stirred up trouble, a revolutionary. The passage we want to look at particularly is the beginning of what Megan just read. Hear it again. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus calls for a revolutionary way of living for those who would follow him. And that revolutionary way calls for us to walk the narrow road, not Broadway. Now, the word revolution is important to think about here because we use it in Revolutionary War or there are revolutions going on, but the word itself simply means to change. So if we're to consider some revolutionary lifestyle, it means to change something in our life about how we follow Jesus. And I dare say that there are many areas that we all could and should change. Because these days, being a Christian looks very different than it did in the first part of the Christian church. Jesus is essentially saying to his disciples when he taught them this, that you have a choice. Now, God gave us free will, remember that. And free will often leads to good choices or bad choices, one or the other. Today, Jesus is contrasting the broad way, the way that everybody takes, the masses, with the narrow way of his followers, which is much less common. Few take it, he says. He's asking us to obey this teaching. And remember, it doesn't matter so much just what you believe. You can believe anything, but if you don't do what you believe, what good is it? And Jesus is saying as much here when he talks about you shall know them by their fruit. So he's expecting his followers, if you choose the narrow way, to show it by what you do, to obey. And in such obeying, you then become a better disciple. We are known not just by our words, but by our actions. Evan knew what it meant to obey. Evan heard from God. He was surprised, as many people are. And when he heard from God, it was at a strange time in his life. He had just begun serving as a new congressman in Washington. He had just moved to that area, just begun serving in that regal and important House of Representatives, when God spoke to him. And God said to Evan, I want you to build an ark. Sound familiar? And Evan said, oh, not me, Lord. What are you talking about? What's this about? But God kept on telling Evan, demanding, you must build an ark. In fact, God did some miracles in Evan's life, and finally, Evan started to believe this is what he was supposed to do. And he even started looking different. But his new boss in Congress didn't like what he saw. And Evan had to make a decision. He had to make a choice. Is he going to do what God wants or not? Is he going to walk the narrow way and take the rejection and the scorn that people would show to him for taking God's way? Or is he going to take the broad way and step away from God wants, what God wants? Well, all of this is wrapped up in the movie Evan Almighty, a great comedy. And this clip you're going to look at right now is when Evan finally stands before his boss in a congressional committee, having chosen the narrow way. Watch what happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, please, Congressman Baxter has a tendency to embrace the theatrical in support of this bill. Congressman, let me warn you, you are approximately 10 seconds away from committing censure.
Oh, no. Hey, would anyone mind if I close the window?
Yeah, hung out.
Well, time to update the resume.
Congressman,
your name is being removed from this bill. Obviously, the stresses of this office have proven too much for you. Please have the congressman removed.
No, please, you don't understand. God commanded Nate to build his heart. It's going to rain. It's going to be a flood.
So, Evan made a choice. The narrow way. The Bible has been calling us to make such choices from the beginning of the biblical story. Moses, when he's leading the Israelites to the promised land, says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life, that you and your descendants may live. His successor, Joshua, to the same audience, would say, I set before you life and death. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in a modern day update of the exact same challenge of who and how to choose, Robert Frost said, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all of the difference. And it does. Christians choose either the broad way, where everybody else is going, or the narrow way. The narrow way, a life that looks like Jesus' life, a life that has priorities that Jesus set, a life that stands out and looks to others rather than self, a lifestyle, if you will, that centers on love, and a lifestyle that centers on God. Taking the narrow way looks very different, just as Evan looked very different. And when people see us, we need to honestly ask, do we look any different than everybody else in how we are living? Do you? The broad way or the narrow way? Let's take a look at what these two choices entail. First, the broad way always will be the easy way. The narrow way will always be the hard way. And we like easy, don't we? We prefer things to be easy. If you had a choice of all the things you do in your life, most of you would choose easy. Lots of products are out there. Easy off, easy cleaner. And we even have an opportunity with Staples.
That was easy.
To say everything's easy. Because we like easy. That's the broad way. But Christians take the harder way. We choose to step away from the crowd, the culture, the masses, away from Broadway, and to do things the harder way. You see, it's hard to stand out from the crowd. I'm so proud of some of our young people in this church who claim Christ and live as Christians and step away from the masses of high school students, especially, who are going down Broadway. A way that so often is dangerous and destructive. The hard way stands for truth in a culture where people live too often by lies and half-truths. The hard way stands up for the poor, acknowledges the outcast. The hard way is to believe and work for justice. All of these things are the harder way, whereas the masses choose Broadway and the easy way. My Lenten group this past week when we gathered, we have lots of Lenten groups going on as a part of this. I'm so pleased. And in my Lenten group, as we considered one of Jesus' teachings about this hard way, easy way, had to do with when he met a man who said, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom? Now, the man was rich. Jesus said, well, sell everything you have give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And the scriptures report he went away sad because he couldn't do it. So I challenged the Lenten group. I said, write down right now, and I did it too, five things of value that you have that you would be willing to sell and give to the poor. Not everything. That's what Jesus said, but just five. What would your list be? Could you do it? Would you do it? That's the hard way in a culture that says get, get, get. But the hard way of Jesus says give, give, give. The difference between Broadway and the narrow way is the difference between the easy way and the hard way. It's also the difference between the short way and the long way. And we all, once again, like short. We like shortcuts. We like quick answers and instant solutions. Quick fixes. But Jesus calls for the long way because you know, as do I, it's a long journey to forgive someone. It takes time. It's a long journey to do acts of love and mercy for someone. It takes time. The narrow way is always the longer way. Building the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven takes time. It's a longer journey, but we believe in it and we're called to live it. And a good example is from Plato. That great writer philosopher of long ago was writing his greatest work, The Republic. Scholars who have the original manuscript of Plato's Republic have noted this, that next to the final first line starting this great work, Plato had written 13 different versions of that first sentence. It took him a long time to find the right words. And that's how it is. It takes us a long time to live as Christ taught. I like Albert Schweitzer's life. He's one of my heroes, that great philosopher, theologian, musician, pastor of the 1800s, early 1900s. Albert Schweitzer was a prodigy. He was born with lots of brains. And by the time he was 30, he had a doctor's degree in theology, philosophy, and music. He had careers set out for him. Everybody wanted a piece of him. He had a certain easy future. But then God, maybe a little like Evan Baxter on the movie, God called him to do something. God called him to become a medical missionary in Africa. So he stopped everything he was doing because he believed that he needed to change his life and his lifestyle. And Albert Schweitzer, at the age of 31, went back to school, went to medical school for 7 years, and then left and went to Africa for the rest of his life because that's what God called him to do. The long way, 7 years, just to get an education, not knowing what would wait him in Africa. Christians take the long way and find patience and perseverance along that journey. Finally, the difference between Broadway and the narrow way is not just the easy and the hard, not just the short and the long, but the difference between an undisciplined life and a disciplined life of faith. Friends, life, you know this, life is tons of discipline. An effective life, a successful life in any endeavor, takes discipline. And Jesus is asking us to be disciplined in our life journey. There's nothing sadder in my mind than someone with natural abilities who fails to live a disciplined life. Undisciplined athletes are a dime a dozen. You can think of examples of an athlete in any sport who is born with natural God-given abilities of body, who can do all kinds of things that most people can't even begin to do, but they fail to live a disciplined life, and because they are undisciplined, all these skills and abilities flame out and they are unsuccessful. And conversely, in the athletic world, many a wonderful story of a less than competent or capable athlete whose skills are nowhere near what these other athletes who are born with these gifts have, but because this athlete is disciplined, they develop their skills, they hone their craft, and they go on to be very successful in what they do. Discipline makes a difference, not just in sports, but in faith. Because it takes discipline to live a life of prayer, to every day make time to be with the Lord in prayer. It takes discipline to live a life of meditation, to set aside time when you and God are still and alone together. It takes discipline to be in worship on a regular basis, presumably weekly, because this is where we rejuvenate our souls. It takes discipline to live a life of service and to see people and opportunities all the time and to be moving from one to another, constantly giving to others. It's a disciplined life Jesus asked for. And that's the difference between the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way is easy and short and undisciplined. The narrow way is hard and long and requires discipline. But at the end of that journey are the blessings that Christ promises. He says at the end of the passage, you will find life. And I love to connect that with his other teaching. Life abundant. Quality of life that gives so much more meaning and value and purpose to life. That it is just so worth it. And some of you know that. In the first 3 centuries of the Christian church, Christians were brave, bold, took risks. Because you see, to be a Christian in those eras, in that era, was to risk your life. And many Christians went to be crucified or to be thrown to the lions for one reason. They said, Jesus is my Lord, not Caesar. And they went singing to their death because they believed that much. Then the church became more official. It was blessed by the Roman Empire. Being a Christian got easier and easier, less persecution. And eventually over the years, the church has begun to resemble more of a club than a church. And now we have to challenge ourselves, as this passage is doing, to remember that Christ expects much, a disciplined life of the narrow way. A church that takes risks is such a church of the narrow way. A Christian who steps out from the crowd is of the narrow way. We are called to live revolutionary lives in that we look differently and we're different than the culture. To change. Where do you need to change? What's one thing you could change to be more of a disciplined Christian? A narrow road Christian. And when people look at us, what do they think? One person asked this. If a new neighbor moved in next door to you and simply watched you, didn't have a chance to talk, but just looked and watched you, would they know you're a Christian? Or, as yet another person said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Lord, the truth about us, though we sometimes try to hide it. So I pray this moment that some of your followers in this place will hear in a deeper, more powerful way exactly what you want of us and will have the courage to do it. Amen.